Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host, Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from the 6th to 13th of July, 2017. We've got an ARC pricing scandal, the future of graphics cards, big change for Steam's UI, Open 4 survives, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds delayed, a new IP from ex-Bioshock devs, and big changes for Warframe. Let's get to it. Chinese entertainment giant and parent company to Riot Games, Tencent, will limit the amount of time people living in China under the age of 18 can spend on their games. Under 12s will be limited to an hour a day no later than 9 p.m, and those between the ages of 12 and 18 will be allowed up to 2 hours a day. Restrictions on the amount of money that can be spent in-game will also be implemented. These changes are being made in the light of a series of incidents around the country, including a 17-year-old suffering a stroke after playing one of Tencent's mobile games for over 40 hours in a row, and a 13-year-old broke his legs jumping from a third-story window because his parents stopped him from playing. The move affects over 200 games, but wasn't met with approval from shareholders, who signaled their disapproval with a 4% dip in values, the biggest fall in 2 years. Nvidia has been doing some research into the future of graphics cards, with initial tests suggesting the way forward might be with multiple GPU modules. As cards get more and more complex, methods are needed for making transistors small enough to fit within die size restrictions. Trouble is, these methods are getting more costly to research and come with an increased manufacturing cost and fault rate. Nvidia's R&D team have come up with the multi-chip module, or MCM, which combines smaller, cheaper modules into one card, somewhat like cores in a CPU. In simulated tests, an MCM performed better than both a single unit card and an SLI setup with the same specifications. AMD are also looking into a similar thing, utilizing their already existing Infinity Fabric technology, which is currently in place with their new 8-core Ryzen CPUs. Although there are many hurdles still to jump, this could be the way to make sure cards can keep up with the demands of the computing and gaming industries. Further details have been revealed concerning the upcoming UI update for Steam. First hinted at in February, leaked slides from a recent Valve developer presentation talk about an overall UI refresh and update, with a focus on the library section. A library homepage will let you launch your most recently played games, as well as showing games that have some kind of activity going on at that moment, whether it be an event, update, or currently popular with your friends. Launch pages for individual games will have a rich display of content, showing your friends' activity in more detail, as well as better highlighting popular guides, artwork, broadcasts, and screenshots. There is no word on when the update will be released. The same presentation also briefly showed some stats, showing there have been 26 million new people making purchases since the beginning of last year, and there are 67 million monthly and 33 million daily players. Valve is also looking to improve Steam's recommendation system, introducing an algorithm that will analyze a user's library and playtimes to, quote, individually curate game recommendations based on actual interests and gameplay habits. A more direct approach will also allow users to explicitly show the types of games they do and don't enjoy, as well as some more sorting and filtering options. Lastly, in Steam news, Valve banned over 40,000 cheaters during this year's summer sale, setting a new record over the previous 15,000 in October last year and around 40 times the usual daily rate. This wave hinged mostly on cheaters buying the games they needed for their new accounts on the cheap. During the ban, over $8,500 worth of skins were also confiscated. The Summer Games Done Quick charity speedrunning event raised over $1.7 million this week for Doctors Without Borders. Over 30,000 people donated, averaging out at $60 a person, with the biggest single donation being $20,300. It is $400,000 more than last year's event, which could be due to a new feature that lets donors give money to get streamers to do something. $2,700 was donated just to have a runner hold an ML plushie while playing Nier Automata. A wide range of games were being played, including Earthbound, Portal 2, Super Mario 64, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, and Halo CE. Replays of the runs can be watched on the Games Done Quick YouTube channel. The upcoming service, Jump, is being advertised as a Spotify-like subscription system for games. Subscribers, who pay $10 monthly, will be able to play a curated selection of indie games on demand and with little impact on storage and bandwidth. A proprietary technology is used to deliver the game in a small package that can be downloaded and launched very quickly, rather than running the game off-site and streaming the video. There will be 60 games at launch, which range from platformers to roguelikes, RPGs, narrative puzzlers, and turn-based strategy. A big emphasis is placed on choosing award-winning games. The service is available on PC, Mac, and Linux, and also supports controllers and VR headsets. You can even play through Jump's website when using Chrome, and saves are stored in the cloud for supported games. 6 to 10 new games will be added each month, and games will stay available for at least a year. There are no in-game ads or microtransactions, and games will also include DLC. It launches later this year, along with a 2-week free trial. Possible candidates for future top game designers have been revealed with the announcement of the winners of the BAFTA Young Game Designers Awards. As mentioned last episode, the awards are for two categories, game concept and game making, which are then won in two age brackets, 10 to 14 and 15 to 18. The participants are all from the UK. The winners are as follows. For Best Game Concept, 10 to 14 years, Elsie May Williams designed Torchlighter, where players work for Torchlighters Inc., a company hired by dungeon bosses to prepare their dungeons for adventurers. In the 15 to 18 years bracket, Anna Carter designed Guzzlesaurus's Culinary Capers, that follows food from farm to plate and instills healthy eating and a love of cooking in children. It also brings things into reality by helping parents to actually cook the in-game recipes with their kids. For Best Game Making, 10 to 14 years, Spruce Campbell made Cyberpunk, where players are sentenced to an infinite incarceration in a neon labyrinth with alternate realities. From the 15 to 18 year olds, Emily Mitchell created Fractured Minds, an immersive puzzle game about the struggles of living with often misunderstood mental health issues. Dave Chilver from Lowestoft Sixth Form College also won a Mentor Award for helping to create game design curriculum for local schools. In the game release and update news, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds creative director Brendan Green has previously said the game should be out in October. The speed is due to the team using a pre-existing engine, Unity, rather than making their own engine, a time-consuming and costly process. In an interview in April, Green said, "People tell us we're not going to be out of early access in 6 months. Challenge accepted. I can guarantee you, 6 or 7 months and we're out of early access. It's the team. It's a manner of honor." But now, Green has backtracked slightly. Quote, "Over the past few months, I have done a lot of interviews, and in many of them, I said we hope to be out of access in 6 months. I've come to realize that restricting the window to a specific month could hinder us from delivering a fully featured game and or lead to disappointment within the community if the launch deadline is not met." The team emphasizes this is only to make sure they have a fully realized and polished Battle Royale experience, and the regular updates will still continue right up to launch. Celeste, the mountain-climbing platformer from the team behind Towerfall, has been pushed back to a release in January of next year. Your character's only abilities are jump, a brief wall cling, and a mid-air dash. Going through certain barriers will create a ghost of your actions that follows behind you, and which you must avoid. The game has several hundred levels across 8 distinct areas. To explain the delay, dev Matt Thorson says, "Back at the start of 2017, we thought Celeste would span around 200 to 300 levels stitched together by a minimalistic narrative. Today we have over 500 levels, and it looks like we'll crest 600 pretty soon. Celeste's narrative has grown to an essential feature of the experience, and maybe the aspect of the game I'm most personally proud of, because we pushed ourselves so hard on it. Every chapter of the game has big, ambitious ideas that we went for, despite feeling the whole time that we might not be able to pull them off, before totally pulling them off. I feel so lucky to be working with such an amazing, hardworking, and talented team on a project we're constantly pushing ourselves to improve in so many ways. It's obvious now that releasing this game sooner than January would be a huge mistake." Troubled exoskeleton MMO FPS Firefall from Red 5 Studios has shut down. An official statement said the decision was made after much review and analysis, but also promised the title would continue as a mobile game. The game was first announced in 2010 and went to open beta in 2013. It was here that, even before launch, the CEO of the time, Mark Kern, had to make apologies for server and performance issues. It released in 2014 to a mixed response, being praised for its visual aesthetics and community, and criticized for repetitive and lackluster mechanics. In its time, it has seen a change to free-to-play, a large class and progression system update, trouble finding an audience, being unable to pay its employees over Christmas, and Mark Kern's public and politics-ridden firing. Red 5 says fans' efforts and loyalty will not go without recognition, promising large rewards for them in the mobile version. The Steam price for Studio Wildcard's Ark Survival Evolved has doubled, going from 30 to 60 in US dollars, with the same thing happening in other currencies. This has shaken things up considerably, but the studio say the increase is to ensure retail parity for the upcoming launch. What this means is the game is still in early access, but now has a full release price tag. Fans were already in uproar when Wildcard released a DLC at $20, two-thirds of the price for the game, some even saying this violates the very premise of what early access is. Pre-ordering is now available at full price, which is likely the main driver behind the change, but even that is close to a third cheaper if you buy a physical copy. Essentially, you are paying quite a bit extra for a month's worth of unfinished game. To cap it all off, physical Steam cards for Ark are still being sold at early access price, but of course they are in limited stock. Wildcard are likely going to have to do some serious thinking if they want to appease players, or even sell anything. Uppercut, a studio formed from a group of ex-Irrational Games developers, have announced a brand new IP, named City of Brass. It's a Middle Eastern-themed, first-person roguelite, with permadeath and procedural generation. Uppercut described the game like so. Players assume the role of a cunning thief, battling to reach a fabled treasure at the city's heart, wielding a blade and whip that can be used to disarm, trip, or stun enemies, to swing to safety, grab inaccessible objects, or even break through flimsy barricades. But the city itself also has teeth. Players have to leap across pits, slide under blades, dodge spears or arrows, evade or employ sprung paving slabs, and sidestep poison gas traps, all the while manipulating these hazards to their advantage against diverse supernatural foes. The city is procedurally generated, but the devs say they have been careful to make it feel like a realistic city, not a random collection of chambers, corridors, and courtyards stitched together. They say they've also taken inspiration from the potential of games like Bioshock to generate combinative combat situations, hoping players will use enemy behavior and game world mechanics to make some interesting moves and plays. The title releases in just a couple of months through Steam. If you were by any chance hoping Nintendo would bring something to the PC, then I'm afraid your dreams have just been dashed upon the rocks. The companies say essentially the PC isn't lucrative enough, especially compared to the mobile market, where they have had great success releasing three apps in the last fiscal year. Quote, "We are aware that many consumers play PC games. However, we believe that the integrated hardware-software business is the best way for us to provide the surprises and new gameplay experiences that we want to achieve. We believe that we can further expand our core integrated hardware-software business by providing our software on smart devices and increasing the number of consumers who experience our IP." Mass Effect Andromeda has removed the DRM de novo in the latest patch to the game, although whether this is permanent is not clear. However, this hasn't completely removed all DRM, as the game still has to be run from the Origin client. Something to note is that de novo's removal likely won't make a difference to piracy levels, as reports are even torrents and the like that are already available aren't getting much traffic anyway. Warframe used to be a co-op dungeon crawler. Now the sci-fi, free-to-play FPS will make a transition to an open-world, MMO style of gameplay. Warframe, Planes of Eidolon will add RPG elements, new mission designs, a new race, a focus on discovery, and, now it's an open-world game, fishing. A day-night cycle will complement the new zones, which have foregone procedural generation in favour of being completely designed by hand. Nighttime will also be accompanied by new dangers that emerge from the environment, including relics from the old war. A release date has not been announced, but the expansion will be out by the end of the year. In esports news, the ESL have announced the For Honor Hero Series, with a prize pool of $10,000. Cup competitions will be held in North America, Europe and Brazil, with the winners going on to compete in Burbank, California. It is open to anyone who wishes to participate, and there is also an amateur caster competition, with the winner joining the desk at the finals event. The University of Leicester is now offering a course focusing on the business of esports for those wanting to get into the industry but not as a player. The university says the course is the first of its kind and is developed in partnership with the ESL. It covers data and intelligence analysis from esports specialists and also enables students to gain commercial awareness of the esports business model, one of the fastest growing parts of the gaming economy. The course is part of the university's master's degree on data analysis for business intelligence. Chinese CSGO team TOT had been caught match-fixing. At the World Cyber Arena Tournament Classic, the team beat favourites EMP 16-3, meaning at least two betting accounts, which were maybe linked to EMP players, won quite a lot of money. The evidence against TOT was found in their IP addresses, with records showing all five players suddenly and simultaneously had different addresses after the first match. As these addresses were from different regions, and ISP changes had been ruled out, this proves the team were illegally subbing players. As a consequence, the coach and all the players on the team have received a year-long ban. The score has been changed so they now lose 2-0, and they have been evicted from the competition. Evidence claiming to show TOT members offering to fix matches has also surfaced through the Chinese media. As for EMP, they of course deny any involvement, with their manager offering a reward to anyone who can prove his players did any wrong. At the League of Legends Rift Rivals competition in Berlin, three teams each from Europe and North America faced it off, with the teams from each region receiving the same prize money depending on whether their region won or lost. The Americans came out on top, Team SolarMid wiping the floor with Unicorns of Love 3-0 in the final. SolarMid only conceded one game through the whole competition, also against Unicorns of Love. The American teams won 20,000 each. In Dota 2, the final match competition held in Lima, Peru, saw Swedish team Alliance beat Brazilian team SG Esports 3-1, taking home a little over $21,000. Seven other teams participated. The tournament was the largest to date in South America and also the first to have international teams, and was organized by the Vastion Group, who usually set up electronic music events. Also in Dota 2, the Mars League Grand Final saw Chinese team LGD Gaming beat mixed team LGD Forever Young 3-2, taking home $112,000. They played against seven other teams. At the CSGO ESL 1 competition in Cologne, Brazilian team SK Gaming slammed the US-Canadian Cloud9 3-0, taking home 100 grand. They played against 15 other teams. Lastly, in Hearthstone, the Spring Championship in Shanghai saw Danish player Hoedge beat Ukrainian Kolento 3-0, winning $60,000. He played against 15 other players. The top sellers on Steam this week were PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, GTA 5, CSGO, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, H1Z1, King of the Kill, Nier Automata, Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Stardew Valley, Dishonored 2, and Fallout 4. Finally, my favourite story this week was, in a swift about-face, Rockstar have decided to allow the GTA 5 mod tool Open4 to continue to operate. The previous banning of the tool to allegedly protect GTA Online from cheating was met with a massive community backlash, as the system is critical to a plethora of mods, and even has restrictions in place to stop the mod being used online. Quote, "We want to say thank you to everyone who supported us in this tough situation. We're very grateful for your support, for the demonstration of the fact that the modding community is still a minority, but a very vocal, creative, and determined minority. However, a side project of the Open4 team will not be continuing. Liberty City in GTA 5 aimed to recreate the whole of GTA 4's city in the current release, and was set to be released in a few months' time. However, even the makers accept that it was in breach of modding policy and won't be continuing with production." You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate, going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up for the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. The show is also on YouTube, It's quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is very welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. I might even read it out on the next episode. Share the show around with anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.